Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
A lot of news to cover on today's program. It will take us more than one day to get it all done, but I at least want to get the big stuff out of the way here on this Monday. Certainly happy to have all of you with us, and certainly our minds are obviously in the observance of the MLK holiday today, one of the most significant dates for our country each and every year, and certainly an important time to reflect, and really a sense of pride here in the Atlanta area because of the connection that Dr. King had, obviously, to our lives here in the state of Georgia and in the city of Atlanta where I live. So obviously, I know that's probably on your mind as well as you watch and enjoy the show today. And we certainly appreciate you being with us. And if you're having some time off, hopefully you are enjoying that. Big news. We'll do some of the Dan Lanning stuff in a little bit. Let me begin with Charlton Warren here. And Warren, as was first reported by Adam Rittenberg from ESPN, gets a chance to leave Georgia to go be Indiana defensive coordinator. I think this is a huge jump for a Warren. What a great job this is. Tom Allen, the Indiana coach, was on some Coach of the Year type stuff for this past season, doing a great job with the Hoosiers. And defensively in particular, they were really good. The Indiana defensive coordinator prior to this, and I forget his name, he became South Alabama coach, and that's how the door got open for Charlton Warren to step in here and be the replacement. And before we kind of get into anything else related to the show, you know, when you have an assistant coach like this, position coach, that has a chance to jump up and be a coordinator at the Power 5 level, that is a very good thing for a program. Much the same way that players want to see a school bring you in, develop you, move you on, put you in the NFL, I think the exact same thing is true for coaches as well. Now, Warren's kind of been around a lot, and he had experience before he got to Georgia, which makes him different than some of the other Georgia assistants. But I think that if you are a guy like Warren and you come to Georgia, you want to believe that when you exit Georgia, you will exit as someone who is now a candidate for a Power 5 defensive coordinator job, which is exactly what Warren gets. Or, you know, maybe in some cases head coach, things like that. And so far, the Kirby Smart coaching tree is working out pretty good in that regard. So that's kind of one of the first things you say about Charlton Warren's departure. Now, it takes Georgia fans very little time to then kind of pivot this story in the direction of recruiting. And in particular, the one big name that's still out there for the class of 2021, four-star defensive back Terrion Arnold. How does Warren's departure for Indiana's defensive coordinator impact Georgia's recruitment of Terrion Arnold? Now, there are a couple of things to know here about this. And the overall bottom line is, and if you missed Friday's show, we talked a lot about Arnold with Jeff Sintel, our Dog Nation recruiting insider. A lot of that came up there. Go back and listen to that from Friday if you hadn't got a chance to hear that yet. So it's a challenging recruitment for Georgia in trying to win with Arnold, given the fact that Alabama's out there and Florida's out there. But I don't know that the Warren news in particular makes it all that much more challenging. First of all, one of the schools that Georgia's competing with right now, Florida, has also lost both of its defensive backs coach this offseason. That was by choice. Florida chose to move on from them after a disastrous Cotton Bowl performance, and Florida did have two of those guys. Georgia involuntarily forced to replace Charlton Warren, but nonetheless, Georgia's not all that different than Florida in the end result in that both those programs this offseason are looking to hire a defensive backs coach. As Jeff said, listen, Alabama still looms in all of this anyway, just because Alabama is a recruiting threat for almost all the truly elite players. But ultimately, here's the one thing I think you should take away from Georgia's recruitment of Arnold, Charlton Warren being gone, and how all of this is impacted by that. The great news is, I'm talking about going back months and months and months, it certainly seems like, whether it's the ultimate key figure, maybe we'll say it a little bit different. We'll say a very prominent figure in Georgia's recruitment of Arnold has been the head coach himself, Kirby Smart. And that's not always true. Head coaches are limited by how much recruiting they can do. Head coaches are also busy. They can't spread their time as aggressively across, you know, players as the position coaches have, because they just have fewer players they're forced to prioritize. But you certainly get the impression, reading the pages of DogNation.com, going back months and months and months, that in Georgia's recruitment of Terrion Arnold, it certainly seems like, you know, well before we knew Charlton Warren was going anywhere, well before, you know, really any of the final stages of the recruitment, which will come to an end in a couple of weeks, that Georgia had already allowed Kirby Smart to be the, you know, kind of the lead phase of that recruitment. In fact, I want to go back to a story. It's like 4 or 5 months ago now from DogNation.com. Our buddy Jeff Sintel writing about Georgia's recruitment of Arnold back when he was just one of many prospects Georgia was pursuing for the 2021 class. Not the final name the way that he is right now. But even way back then, Georgia had already kind of demonstrated the level of priority status that Arnold had with UGA, based on how much time that Kirby Smart was spending with him. I want to read you like one sentence here from Jeff Sintel, the story from DogNation.com a few months ago. And this one sentence and kind of the other details that go along with that, part of the reason why I wouldn't let Warren's departure worry me too much about how Georgia's going to recruit Terry and Arnold. This is what Jeff writes. This is, like I said, it's like 4 or 5 months ago. I forget the exact date. Georgia coach Kirby Smart, Jeff says, speaks to Arnold 2 to 3 times per week. Jeff said that's more than any other head coach out of a stout groups that were essentially the finalists for Arnold way back then: Alabama, Florida, LSU, Oklahoma, Texas, and Texas A&M. So all elite recruiting programs, all programs at that time that had fully built out recruiting apparatus, and yet Kirby Smart was the head coach from that group, according to Jeff Sintel, that was speaking with Arnold the most back then. So in terms of how all of this is impacted by Warren's departure, I'm not saying it doesn't matter. Position coach obviously does matter there some. But, gosh, what a hit, by the way, if you're watching a video that Arnold just laid on that highlight film we were just watching. But nonetheless, that the presence of Kirby Smart as a key figure in this recruitment going back months and months and months probably helps you weather the storm on some of that. And if you want more information on this, my invitation would be to check out all the stuff that Jeff Sintel said about this on Friday when he joined us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. Or really just go back and look through the archive of all the things that Jeff has written about this in the past. That it was Kirby Smart who gave the initial offer to Terry and Arnold. You know, Kirby Smart who, you know, kind of bragged on him, told him he thought he'd be a Thorpe Award winner and, you know, do big things in a UGA uniform. A lot of this, as Arnold has said on the pages of DogNation.com, came to him from Smart himself. So Kirby has been a key figure there. Doesn't guarantee that Georgia wins this recruitment, but it certainly gives you a leg up and maybe the ability to weather a storm with Warren moving on to Indiana. Georgia actually may be in an okay position to kind of deal with all of this, just related to the fact that Smart himself has been such a central figure in this recruitment there to this point in time. All right, with all of that said, now you're left to wonder, well, what does this mean for George in terms of a replacement? And obviously there's some names that kind of come up here. You know, when I popped on video yesterday and I was on the Facebook page a little bit, on the YouTube page a little bit, just kind of chatting with Georgia fans about all of this. I mean, the first name that kind of comes to mind for me is Corey Raymond, the defensive backs coach at LSU. Now, here is where my bias comes in. You know, anytime that Georgia has an opening like this, I'm always going to want Georgia to hire what I view as kind of the biggest name available. I'm always going to kind of, you know, want Georgia to hire what I think is the best possible recruiter for that spot. And that's clearly what Raymond is. As Mike Griffith wrote yesterday at DogNation.com, Georgia obviously interviewed Raymond one time before when this job was open, when ultimately Charlton Warren was hired. I guess the sense that you get at that time is either Georgia didn't want Raymond or Raymond wasn't ready to leave LSU. You know, and maybe that's exactly the way that things are now, that maybe whatever prevented this from happening a couple of years ago is still in place here at this point in time. But let's face it, there are weird situations going on at LSU right now. You know, LSU's been turned down for a defensive coordinator spot. A lot of folks kind of wondering, you know, with players leaving the LSU program, just how stable is the ground that Ed Orgeron stands on right now, just 1 year removed from a national championship. That may not be enough to get Corey Raymond to leave a state that he knows very well and a program that he's had great success at, but if I was Kirby Smart, it'd be at least worth a shot there. And my bias is always going to be, I want biggest possible name, best possible recruiter. That's kind of what I view Corey Raymond to possibly be at their point in time. But that doesn't mean that that's the only big name that George could go out and get for a spot like this. You know, I thought it was interesting, you know, to hear some of the other names that kind of, come up. You know, Tavares Robinson at Miami, a lot of fans bringing that name up yesterday, a guy that had been hired away by Miami, going back to his hometown after having been at South Carolina these last couple of years, thinking about a guy like that in a role like this. That also may be a little bit of a pipe dream in relationship to the fact that, as I said before, T-Rob is kind of in his hometown now there at Miami. Mike Griffith Griffith also brought up in his piece yesterday the possibility of someone like Derek Ansley, who is technically Tennessee defensive coordinator right now. We'll have more on Jeremy Pruitt's job status before we're done on today's show. But there's also, you know, the notion of, well, if Pruitt is out at Tennessee, does that leave Derek Ansley looking for a job? And could Ansley be involved in a situation like this? And those are kind of all the kind of the big names that you sort of think about when it comes to something like this. But let me just give you one more thing to think about before we move off this topic. That obviously I would be energized by talking about big names. When you look at the list of possible replacements for Warren, I'm no different than the average fan, and that when I click into that story at DogNation.com, I want to see big names. I want to see names that I've heard of before. And hopefully that'll be what Georgia does to replace Warren. But Warren, as I said a moment ago, was the outlier among Georgia assistants in terms of the reputation he had before he came here. Georgia stole him from Florida. It was kind of thought of as a pretty big coaching coup when Kirby Smart was able to hire Warren. But other than that, think about the other position coaches on the Georgia defense for a moment. Take Trey Scott. Trey Scott had just been hired by Ole Miss when Kirby Smart hired him, and prior to that, Scott had been at North Carolina. Back then, North Carolina was not really swimming in the deep recruiting waters they're probably swimming in now under Mac Brown, so you really had not much of an indication of what kind of recruiter Scott was going to be, what kind of defensive line coach Scott was going to be. He did not have a very filled-out resume when he was first hired by Georgia. But when you see the recruiting success of landing a guy like Jalen Carter, of landing a guy like Trayvon Walker, of seeing a Georgia defense that's now been dominant against the run multiple years in a row, got better with the pass rush this year than it had been before. All of a sudden, you see, wow, Trey Scott's doing a pretty good job now as Georgia defensive line coach, even though he didn't have much of a resume, I would say, when Georgia first hired him. Glenn Schumann had no resume to speak of whatsoever. Schumann was not a coach at the college football level. He was an analyst at Alabama when Kirby Smart first tapped him, a part of his first staff way back in 2016. But Schumann is clearly a name on the rise. He's a potential defensive coordinator now for a couple of different Power 5 spots. That's how big and how quickly he's kind of risen up the ranks through the coaching world. And Smart clearly identified something in Schumann before he had any coaching track record to speak of. That's been Smart's eye for talent when it comes to hiring these assistants. Dan Lanning much the same way. We'll have more on Lanning here coming up in a moment. But when Lanning was first hired by Georgia out of Memphis, the truth is I didn't really know anything about him at all. He was not someone that had been on my radar, not someone I was familiar with. But you watch him, you know, as outside linebackers coach at Georgia, you realize that he's cut from the exact same cloth as the rest of these Kirby Smart guys, Nick Saban type guys, who burn the candle at both ends in recruiting and get it done on the field there as well. And that talent was identified by Smart. The point I'm getting to is this, is that we understand that coaches have to have an eye for talent when it comes to players. You have to look at the guy at the high school ranks, and you have to be able to have some imagination, some perspective of how that might translate as well to the college ranks. You have to be able to project, in other words. I think that's a key part of the job of a head coach as well, because there will never be enough elite-level assistant coaches to go around. Much the same way too many programs are fighting for too few elite players, it's really the same thing for assistant coaches as well. And so you've got to be able to identify young guys who haven't been given a chance yet, who will be able to succeed once they get that chance. When it comes to Trey Scott and Glenn Schumann and Dan Lanning, I would say that Smart has passed that test with flying colors. So it may be that Kirby's next defensive backs coach at Georgia is a famous name that we all know about, who has well-established credentials on the recruiting trail. Or it might be someone who is a rising star in the coaching ranks who's finally looking for his opportunity. Well, whatever it is, I think there's a chance that either path could work out well for UGA. And I certainly look forward to seeing what happens next with a pretty significant offseason storyline. Of course, the one name I don't mention there is Will Muschamp. We'll have more on that possibility throughout our program today as well. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. Glad to have you with us no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Actually, we're actually off the radio today on 960 The Ref in honor of the holiday, but we'll look forward to being back there again tomorrow, and of course inviting all of our friends there in the Athens radio world to check us out on some of our on-demand broadcast features here today. And of course, all of you, good to have you with us. We'll get John Stinchcomb here coming up in a moment. Looking forward to that conversation as we kind of dive into a number of things related to position coaches and how important they are, and just how crucial this hire is for Georgia when it comes to replacing Charlton Warren. As I said before, we'll do a little bit more on Will Muschamp before we're done. The honest truth is, I'm going to do a good bit on Muschamp tomorrow, so some of that will come then. Let me also give a shout out to my friends at Pella Window and Door of Georgia for making all this possible. You know, Pella Window and Door of Georgia can help equip your house with energy efficient windows and doors, and that's important this time of year when the heat's working overdrive, trying to keep your family warm. You don't want that expensive energy escaping outside your house. That can cost you money on your bills, so let Pella Window and Door of Georgia save you some money on that, because in many cases, their energy efficient windows and doors can do just that. It certainly makes your home look better on the outside. That can possibly be a benefit when it comes to resale value. Just a great, great opportunity for you to do something that you know you need to do anyway. Make sure you've got your windows and doors upgraded to the highest possible, you know, quality, best possible savings for you on everything else. Pella Window and Door of Georgia certainly provides that. Great deal here as well. Through February 18th, you can get $150 off windows, $350 off doors, or 0% APR for 36 months. What a great, great savings opportunity that is. Here's how I want you to get in touch with them. Go to PellaBranch.com. Very easy website to remember. PellaBranch.com. Tell them Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily sent you over there. Get yourself some brand new energy efficient windows and doors from my friends at Pella Window and Door. And don't forget to tell them the BA sent you over there for that. All right, before I get John Stinchcomb, let's go around the doghouse here today, assisted by our friends at AAA. And so we just talked about the Georgia assistant coach that Georgia lost here this week. Over the weekend, let's talk for a moment about the guy that Georgia was able to hold on to. Now, since we've last spoken, a lot has happened. We mentioned on Friday's show the rumor from Chip Brown at 24/7 Sports. Chip's a friend of the show. He's been on the show before. Chip was reporting that Texas may go after Pete Golding for its defensive coordinator spot, and if it did, Alabama might go after Dan Lanning. So that's kind of what we talked about on Friday's show, but by the time Friday evening had rolled around, Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports was reporting that Texas had actually targeted Dan Lanning itself, and you listen to a lot of the online chatter and things like that, it sounds like Texas made a pretty aggressive push for Lanning as the first defensive coordinator there for Steve Sarkisian, and maybe there was a thought that Lanning might go, but before it was all said and done on Friday evening, Lanning put out this tweet to let folks know that he was sidling the camp of Georgia here for the 2021 season with the hashtag Let's Run It Back, not using the unfinished business hashtag, by the way, but certainly using the Let's Run It Back hashtag, an acknowledgement that he was planning on returning to Georgia for this upcoming year. Now, I'm going to talk more tomorrow about the value that I think that Lanning has as Georgia's defensive coordinator that I think is a little bit hidden to some Georgia fans. I don't know that Georgia fans necessarily have given Lanning as much credit as they should for the work that he's done at Georgia and how quickly his coaching star has risen. So I'm going to save that for tomorrow, and I'm going to make, you know, kind of a comparison with, you know, like some Will Muschamp type stuff and things like that. Let me just say this for now, though, when it comes to Lanning himself. That for staying at Georgia, he will now probably get himself a pretty sizable raise. This is how coaches, you know, work their way up the salary structure. They get, you know, a big offer somewhere else. That offer gets countered by their current school, and that's how you get a raise. And apart from interest from other programs, sometimes it's hard for coaches to get these really big raises. And obviously, we talk about college football. We talk about money all the time. Oh, the big programs like Georgia have so much money, blah, 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 blah. And I think one of the things that's sometimes fascinating to me is just how challenging it is for a program to figure out what to spend that money on. In other words, think about very rich program in our mind, like what Texas is, and Texas certainly is that. Notre Dame is that. And yet when you see these programs that, you know, we would kind of think of as the richest, Notre Dame, its own contract with NBC, Texas, its own cable network, the Longhorn Network, and you think about these unparalleled resources that some of these programs have had, and yet it has not led to championship success. I'm not telling you that money doesn't matter in college football. I'm telling you that sometimes the line we draw from money towards winning championships is not quite as straight a line as sometimes we would be led to believe. And some of the things that we think of as most important in the ways in which we choose to spend money around college football, I'm actually not quite so sure it's as important as maybe you think. For instance, we talk about facilities all the time. I'm always fascinated by the degree to which, you know, some fans, plenty of media, seem to be fixated on commercial real estate when it comes to building a college football program. Georgia's building a big building right now. They gave an update about that on social media over the weekend. And I'm not telling you it doesn't matter, but giving a coach a nicer office is not a pathway towards winning a championship. Not saying you shouldn't do it, and certainly new weight room, things like that matters. I'm not anti-facility, but sometimes I'm a little skeptical of the value of the very best facilities when it comes to winning championships. I'm just not quite so sure it works out quite as linearly as that. But when you really want to think about the big bucks that are generated by a college football program, what is that money for? This is what I would say that money is for. When you've got a defensive coordinator that works for your program, when you've got a guy that's built up your defense, I know that Georgia didn't play great defensively in its biggest games this year, but think about this over the course of a long haul. Think about this over the course of a larger sample size. Dan Lanning has done good work as Georgia defensive coordinator. A program with unparalleled financial resources came after him, and we were led to believe that Georgia was willing to do what it took to keep Dan Lanning in its employment. There is no more important use for the money in a college football program than to keep successful coaches employed by that program. It's the continuity with very good coaches that keep you in contention for championships. When you lose those guys, it makes it a little bit harder. And yes, Alabama is kind of the outlier there because they've lost a bunch of assistant coaches and they've kept right on rolling, but that's an example of Alabama being an outlier in a lot of ways. For the most part, change over with assistant coaches, being forced to go hire another up-and-comer because you couldn't afford to keep the guy that finally rose his way up the ranks, that is a recipe for program erosion. And Georgia has the financial resources in place to keep its successful assistant coaches from taking parallel jobs somewhere else. There is no more important way for programs to spend money than that, no more valuable thing for a program to do than to spend money to keep its people resources in place, its successful assistant coaches. So if you want to know, I think the most important part of the Dan Lanning story here over the weekend is that money apparently will not be a factor for Georgia in holding on to very good coaches. And that is a very, very important part about how you win a championship. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily. Pella Window and Door of Georgia brings it all to you. It's also around the doghouse, assisted by our friends at AAA. I think I got the wrong part of the script there for a second. We're around the doghouse. We're assisted today by our friends at AAA. Of course, I love being a AAA member. Very, very fun thing to be able to do. And very good savings for you when it comes to more than just roadside assistance, but really all the ways in which a AAA membership helps pay for itself. For instance, you can get the AAA Savings Hack Pack. It's a collection of features and benefits that's worth more than $1,000. Free career assistance, identity theft protection, up to 85% off prescriptions, discounts on food and essentials, and so much more. The AAA Hack Pack is a part of every AAA membership, and you can check it out for yourself and find out just how quickly it can help pay for itself. Check them out on the web. It's AAA.com/go savings. That's AAA.com/go savings. That will get you in touch with my friends at AAA here today. Okay, great to have you with us. A lot more on all of this related to Charlton Warren's departure, Georgia holding on to Dan Lanning, what comes next with all of this, how does Will Muschamp factor into this discussion, can Georgia hold on to Glenn Schumann? A lot of discussion, a lot of things being talked about. Let's continue the conversation right now with our buddy John Stinchcomb.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And we'll say hello to John Stinchcomb here. Great voice to have on the program today as we look at a lot of movement amongst Georgia's assistant coaches, a guy that Georgia was able to hold on to in Dan Lanning, a guy that got a very easy to understand promotion in Charlton Warren, now defensive coordinator in Indiana, and kind of everything else in between all of that. John, there is never a dull moment around Georgia football. This weekend was certainly an example of that, was it not?
It certainly is, and I'm really grateful. Staff retention is going to be key as you try to build. I mean, you look at programs like Alabama and Clemson, they seem to lose coordinators on an annual basis, but candidly, we're not there yet, and I can understand some of the assistants taking better opportunities, but holding on to Dan Lanning, I think, is a big success for Georgia and is very promising, and I think it indicates what we all think in that there's a nice returning roster of players, and there's probably a good chance that this 2021 upcoming season is a good opportunity to make it run at a national title.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, and I think keeping Lanning is an important part of that, and we'll start with him since you kind of bring that part of it up. And what I said before you joined us is that, John, it's not that I'm anti-facilities and building shiny offices and, you know, some weight rooms have waterfalls and Clemson's got a slide and all that kind of stuff. I'm not anti-facility, but when it comes to the way in which money contributes to a championship, I believe it's less about facilities than it is about holding on to coaches who are good. These guys are all upwardly mobile. They all want professional development. They all want professional advancement. And when you show them the financial resources and pay to retain them so that they don't have to go, you know, leave for Texas or leave for that job, they don't have to make a parallel move within college football, I don't think there's any more way in which money contributes to winning for a program than that. Convincing coaches that they don't have to leave for, now if you get a promotion, coordinator moves to head coach, position coach moves to coordinator, we'll talk about that more in a moment, then obviously, you know, there's not much you can do about that. But when it comes to just leaving for more money or leaving for what looks like a better opportunity, you know, Georgia has the resources to say there are no better opportunities within this job category anywhere in the sport, and that to me is a huge thing for Georgia to be able to say.
Yeah, and I would say this. Facilities is players. So when I look at the investment into facilities, what you're saying to a 16 and 17 year old recruit is, you know, look at all the great shiny stuff. It's trying to recruit players, but impact wise, and we've been guilty of this. Candidly, I think Georgia in years past was guilty of kind of asking their coaches to have like a Georgia discount and bypass some opportunities that existed in other places just because, hey, we're Georgia. And I don't think we're doing that anymore. I think Georgia has done a really good job of being competitive in offering their assistant coaches and coordinators their value, arguably, which at times we were falling short in that category. And I think if you're going to make that last push, that last charge, because Georgia's been in the discussion, just haven't been able to clear that last hill, you're going to have elite staff. And I think Dan Lanning is a great coach. And you mentioned earlier in the show, Schumann. I think he's another up-and-comer, a guy that every time you read what a player has to say, not only is he a great recruiter, but he's a great coach and relates to the guys. So to make that last push, to clear that last hurdle, because I feel like Georgia is right at the cusp and has been under this Kirby Smart era, but there's still that last piece that we haven't been able to accomplish. Before we can throw our name in that same circle as an Alabama or a Clemson, we're going to have to prove it. And I think we're close, but being able to keep some of these great coaches is really, I think, a vital step in making that last charge.
All right, so let me kind of move on to the Charlton Warren part of this. I said this before you joined us, that I'm not glad that Charlton Warren is leaving UGA, but much the same way when players leave and they go on to have NFL draft success or good pro careers, it makes it easier to get other players. And when a position coach leaves Georgia to go be a Power 5 defensive coordinator, I think it makes that position that he leaves behind hot. It becomes easier to replace it when guys have good professional opportunities. Schumann much the same way, who may, you know, kind of work his way up from being an analyst before Kirby got a hold of him to being a potential Power 5 defensive coordinator himself, that, you know, I don't want these guys leaving, but I do want Georgia to be a coaching program that does provide a springboard for the assistants to come in here, because it just makes it easier to get other highly qualified assistants after that. So for, you know, from that standpoint, Warren moving on, while I'm not glad he's gone, the fact that there's you know, kind of an arrow up for the Georgia assistants, I do think in a weird way it's kind of a good thing.
Well, winning is the best, right? Coaches look better, players look better, and when you have a winning program, just to be on staff, whether it's a grad assistant or you know, an assistant position coach, that matters. It looks more attractive. I mean, we're the first media at this point. We're the first to bag on a coach if they come from a losing program. Who cares whether they have talent or not? It's a, you know, that's what we look at. So Well, the more you win, the better everyone looks, and you want to be attached to some of those programs. So I think it only makes sense that some of these assistants are getting better opportunities. It looks better when you've been a position coach for a really good group that's about to produce arguably some NFL draft picks and some highly rated players, and he's had a big piece of either getting them to Georgia or developing the players while they were here on campus. And it looks good. The more you win, it does better for everybody, and coaches are included in that.
Let me drill down more specifically on this topic for a moment by asking this. I think in 01 and 02, your position coach was Neil Callaway, if memory serves correct. I don't remember prior to that who your offensive line coach was, but as a player, how important truly is the position coach to you? And for the Georgia players who are coming back for 2021 and won't have Charlton Warren in place anymore, how much of a inconvenience or disappointment do you think it is for them not to have their position coach in place based on the level of closeness you felt to your position coach while you were at Georgia?
Well, while I was there, we had five offensive line coaches. We had quite the turnover, including Pat Watson, who passed away. So
oh, no.
Pat Watson, Greg Adkins, Doug Marrone, who is the head coach in the NFL, yeah. a couple different places, Jacksonville last. Chris Selfo was the offensive line coach who recruited me to Georgia, went on to be head coach at Tulane, yep. Position coach with the Falcons for a while, and then finished with Coach Callaway. So we had some turnover. To me, I was one of those guys that I needed the coaching. You know, even in the NFL, having a good position coach, somebody who not only understands how to put together schemes and help with the game plan, it was an ongoing skill development process. And some players, I'm specifically thinking about a linebacker who I was pretty close with. He was more instinctual. I played with other guys that same thing. But for me, man, it was very important to have a good position coach that knew what he was doing, that was technically sound, that pushed you. And I felt like we were a much better group when we had a coach that was able to check more than just a few boxes. And I think that's what any staff wants, right? A head coach is looking for position coaches and coordinators that are well-rounded and not just one-trick ponies.
So, if you don't mind, when you would have these changeover among position coaches, I think some of us have an understanding of, well, certain coaches just gravitate towards certain players, and certain players seem to kind of become that coach's guy, and I'm using air quotes when I say that. Were you ever worried that you would fall out of favor, or that somehow that when the new guy got hired, that it wouldn't quite click for you, and maybe whatever you're spot on the hierarchy was, the projected depth chart was, that it was somehow going to erode or slip because you just weren't that coach's guy?
Well, you certainly have rapport with some coaches better than others. I felt like I was fortunate enough. Coach Marrone was my position coach at Georgia, and then we crossed paths again in New Orleans, and one of my favorite.
I started to say, I think
time.
Doug Marrone has literally coached almost everywhere. I mean, at this point in time, it seems like he's been about half the NFL teams, about
around.
A third of the college teams.
Yep, and was I probably not an easy guy to play for, but man, what a great coach! I mean, it made me better, and I love the guy. And I know that I had some other teammates that probably didn't share that same sentiment because he was hard. But I do remember every time you get a new coach. They come in and they try to prove that it's going to be their way and their system. And after on the fifth go-around at Georgia, you're thinking, oh, I buy in, man. I submit. Whatever your way is, I'm all for it. But at the end of the day, coaches like players. If you can go and play the game, then you've got a spot. Now, big system changes, with the changeover from Donnan to Rick, or if it's a coordinator that comes in and there's a different mentality or approach, that could absolutely affect how you fit into their system. You know, you see big scheme changes, similar to probably that same mentality that when Coach Pittman came in, he wants the bigger framed monster offensive lineman. Well, that was a shift, and I'm not saying there's a shift with Coach Luke here that you're not looking for great players, because quite honestly, they're recruiting at such a high level that most of the players we recruit, and all the elites, I mean, there's a reason why Georgia's in the top three annually. It's because they just look for the best players, and those guys seem to fit in just about any system.
Yeah, I think that's right. Let me talk about a couple other issues before I let you go here for a moment. And, you know, John, when I popped on video yesterday for a couple of minutes to talk about Warren's departure, you know, one of the names that comes up from some fans about a replacement is, well, Georgia should get Champ Bailey to come be defensive backs coach. And a lot of the genesis for this is the fact that North Carolina's defensive backs coach now is Dre Bly, former great NFL and college defensive back who's been instrumental in some of their recruiting efforts. Ed Reed is affiliated with the Miami program. That's another former, great player who's, kind of seemingly an attractive asset for that program. And a lot of folks say, well, Georgia needs its own version of that, and that's what a guy like Bailey without coaching experience could possibly be. And I'm curious your thoughts about this, but as a way of kind of furthering this discussion, let me just say this, which is that I knew a guy that was a position coach in the SEC. This is a guy who was hired to coach football, and yet his head coach told him, one of your daily responsibilities is also going to be, I need you to write 100 handwritten notes per day to various recruits to send out every single day. And this guy was like, I'm here to coach football, and yet here I am, working on my penmanship every day because I'm having to do these handwritten notes and send them out to recruits. And my point with all of this is, and I'm genuinely curious what you have to say about this, which is there is so much involved in being an SEC coach right now that goes beyond just getting out there and talking ball on a practice field that, if I've got a gold jacket from the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I'm just not quite sure that's worth the trouble, if my football legacy is already that much intact. What do you think of, the attraction that some fans seem to have about the former player, becoming a coach?
Well, I think you nailed it, because that same discussion was had about Hines Ward a few years ago when Kirby's coming to town, and Hines is, I think he actually expressed direct interest in coaching.
He did.
And there's no doubt. I mean, these guys know what they're talking about. They're some of the best to ever play the game. What defensive back wouldn't love to learn from Champ Bailey? You know what I mean? That's just as enticing as Deion Sanders as a head coach. I mean, that's attractive because you've seen them play at such a high level, and they know the game, and you feel like you can learn it from them. What I think is important is, as a former player, you recognize, and this is where you hit the nail on the head, it takes a lot more to be really good as a coach in college ranks or NFL, whatever that is, than just knowing your sport. If it was limited to, hey, if you can come up here and coach these defensive backs as to how to play corner in the SEC, there would be none better than Champ Bailey. I mean, I don't know. There also is a point where it's like Champ was one of the best, if not the best, athlete I ever played with. That's hard to coach.
Yeah, right.
Just do it like I do, or right. Watch how I do it. Doesn't work for 99.9% of the guys out there. They just can't play like Champ did. But he's also a guy who's in the Hall of Fame, and it takes more than just raw talent. He worked hard. He, had the commitment pieces, which is all good. I've kind of got sidetracked a little bit, BA. But
no, I think you're making a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. The point is it takes so much more. There's so much more that goes into it than just knowing the game, and recruiting and staying on top of keeping players eligible, and that they're so much off the field stuff that you're trying to pour into them. It's more than just, hey, show up at practice, let's work on a game plan, get these guys ready to play. Realizing that, I think it's quite a challenge. I know for a lot of former players, they think, oh, the easiest path is to get right into coaching, but The time commitment is pretty immense because there's so much away from the practice field and the game field that is demanded of coaches these days. It is quite a lot.
Well, you mentioned two names I think are pretty important there, Deion Sanders and Hines Ward. I actually interviewed Ward shortly after Kirby Smart was hired or around that time. And, you know, Ward did say directly, yes, I want to be wide receivers coach at Georgia. And, you know, very serious sports writers at the time would say that's, you know, a ridiculous notion. That can't happen. But since then, Ward has kind of put his money where his mouth, you know, was about being a coach. He's wide receivers coach of the New York Jets now, I believe. This is a guy that's, you know, gotten serious enough about coaching that he's actually now a professional paid coach to do so. And in Deion Sanders' case, you know, he talked all this, you know, stuff about wanting to be a head coach, wanting to be that and the other, and people kind of rolled their eyes at it. But listen, this is a guy who kind of paid his dues at the high school ranks. Now, he had good high school player son, so that made it maybe a little easier, but he kind of paid his dues at the high school ranks, you know, did some stuff there, you know, willing to take a job at a place like Jackson State, which is obviously from a facilities and kind of, you know, prestige standpoint, a far cry from the Power Five level necessarily. This is a guy who's kind of, you know, working his way up the ranks to do so. And so, you know, we do, and we see a lot of examples of this in basketball as well, where, you know, great former players sit at the end of a bench for a long time and finally work their way towards being a coach. That if someone like Bailey was serious about doing this, the first job he gets is probably not going to be at the University of Georgia, because certainly Deion Sanders' first coaching job wasn't at Florida State. You know, Hines Ward's first coaching job's not at Georgia. That if this is something that you really want to make your, you know, life about it, this phase of your life, you probably don't quite start at this level.
Yeah, but Champ could. Champ is one of the few that I think probably could. He, you know, Hines Ward, there's a lot of former players that get those position roles in the NFL, mainly from those connection points that you create. And like any business, the network has to be strong. It's just as much who you know as what you know. And I think you could make a pretty strong case, especially for a position coach, that they, if they're willing to make that commitment, as long as that there's an understanding of what's being asked. Here's what we're going to need from you. And it's more than just coaching up these players on how to play their specific positions, and they're willing to make that commitment. I've witnessed a lot of former players. I'm thinking, you know, I think the Detroit Lions are going to name Dan Campbell their head coach. He's a former teammate. It's okay. Amazing now, the older you get, it's all former teammates or, you know, quality control guys that are general managers. I'm thinking Terry Fontenot potentially for the Falcons. Sure. You just see guys that work their way up. But from a former player standpoint, there are some that they are committed and dedicated to the game. And during those interviews, which I'm sure any former player would have to go through that same process as any other assistant coach, they could very clearly express, I understand what the ask is, and I'm willing to commit myself to it.
I've kept you long, and I apologize for that. Let me squeeze in one more thing before we're done, though, if you don't mind, and that's related to, you know, the name that kind of comes up a little bit is Will Muschamp. Jeff Sintel reported on Friday's show that Muschamp had been spotted around Athens a little bit of the last couple of weeks. There certainly seems to be, you know, kind of some thought of, well, Muschamp at the very least might be kind of an off-field quality control type analyst at Georgia, and with a coaching position open, the possibility that he might even be more than that on the Georgia staff. How well do you know Will Muschamp, and what would you think about, you know, some sort of Muschamp connection back at Georgia beyond his son Jackson being a walk-on quarterback?
Yep, I don't know him personally. He played with my brother. He was a couple years older at Georgia, but I do know that there is the personal relationship. It's the same thing with Mike Bobo, right? Mike Bobo, Will Muschamp, Kirby, they were not only teammates, they were buddies. I mean, they're still close, is my understanding, and there's probably more credibility knowing that you look at all the coaches and the coaching trees, if you will. He coached for Andy Reid, or he was a Bill Parcells guy. So being a part of the same staff, the familiarity that coaches have with one another, if they've crossed paths, it definitely matters. And I think the fact that you have a personal relationship between Coach Muschamp and Coach Smart would absolutely be sound enough reason to say, man, there's probably more to this and more opportunity than just any other SEC coach that might be looking for employment. But honestly, isn't this similar to the Matt Luke in that he was head coach at Ole Miss and there's an opportunity and you think, man, that's a good grab. Will Muschamp is former head coach and been around the SEC a while and is well-respected and probably has a ton of relationships across all these high schools with coaches and players, and there's opportunity there. There's a void and space in the staff that he might be able to fit in, and you might recognize that it's not going to be long-term. I don't think that he would be satisfied for a long-term of being just a defensive back coach, but there's always opportunities that seem to pop up down the road.
I think that's really interesting, John. Thanks for being here. As I said before, I took a lot of your time, but I certainly am appreciative of your insight. Very well said, very well done, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again next week.
Always fun, BA. Go Dawgs.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I have said about, you know, guys like, you know, Matt Luke, head coach becoming position coach, something that he did choose to do last season. Will Muschamp, if he were to become a candidate of the defensive backs coaching job at Georgia, is that once you move yourself to the position coach ranks, you are no longer interviewing for head coaching jobs. And I would assume that Matt Luke, after the way things ended at Ole Miss, said in his mind, and this is just me guessing, well, I'm not going to be interviewing for these head coaching jobs anyway. I want to work. Maybe I've gotten used to having a nice sizable paycheck, so let me go somewhere where I can have a good job. Offensive line coach at Georgia, the last guy, used that as a springboard to become Arkansas head coach. And so, why not go do that? That might be a pretty good place for me to go. If you're Will Muschamp, it's just a matter of what do you view the job after this job? Do you think it might be a head coaching job again? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Different people have different opinions about Muschamp when it comes to that. But if you think it could be, by putting yourself at the position coach category, I think you make it harder on yourself to even get those interviews. So I'm sure he'll get good, advice from his agent about something along those lines with that. But that's one of the reasons why I think sometimes former head coaches are hesitant to want to, go be position coaches. It's easier to go be an analyst somewhere because you're basically saying, hey, I'm holding it. It's like Cousin Eddie in Christmas Vacation. I'm holding out for a management position. maybe that's kind of the way that all works out. Let me roll through the SEC through here and do a couple things with you. Charles Huff, the running backs coach at Alabama, has now been hired as Marshall head coach. I think this is really interesting for a couple of reasons. The first one being this. And listen, like one of the things we don't do on this show is we don't really get into like the big social issues related to sports because, frankly, I think you just want to be entertained and I'm probably not smart enough to talk about big social issues anyway. But there's no doubt when I look across the landscape of football that there are some hiring inequities. The NFL level, I would say the college level, things like that, that need to be fixed. And I don't really know what the solution is, right? If you told me I'm the king of the world, I can fix this problem, I'm not really quite so sure necessarily how you fix it, but one of the things I do think is cool, Charles Huff is an African-American man, one of the things I do think is cool here is that we have seen a trend in recent years of college coaches being hired that were not coordinators. And if you want to see a way in which you can make the overall head coaching world look a little more diverse, this trend that almost has nothing to do with that at face value might actually contribute to that a little bit. Sam Pittman, Georgia offensive line coach, becomes Arkansas head coach. Shane Beamer, I think tight ends coach at Oklahoma, becomes South Carolina head coach. Now Charles Huff, running backs coach at Alabama, becomes head coach at Marshall. And one of the really cool things about this is that I think all of this is kind of market-driven, right? Players seemingly have enjoyed playing for Huff, and therefore Marshall looks at that and says, well, if the players like playing for him, we want happy players, let's make this guy our head coach so we can get some more of that for our program. In other words, we're going to skip a couple steps in the typical hierarchy because we want to have a guy that players enjoy playing for. I think that's a really good sign for what the sport might be in the future, that the old guard way of you got to move from this job to that job and that job to that job and that job to that job, and finally maybe we'll consider you for a head coach. That system hasn't worked out well for everybody, but this new system might have a potential to be a little more fair, so keep your eye on that. The other thing that I'll say here is that if you think about Dell McGee, Georgia's running backs coach as well, a lot of folks have wondered what his coaching future might be. There have been some rumors of, well, at some point in time, maybe McGee wants to go back to his alma mater, Auburn, or maybe he wants to take that next step towards being an offensive coordinator so that eventually he can be a head coach. I firmly believe that Dell McGee will be a college coach at some point in time. I don't really know McGee personally. I just know enough about him. He just kind of seems like, you know, the kind of guy you would want being a head coach somewhere. The Huff story of going from Alabama to Marshall, I think, gives you an indication that maybe McGee, who travels a similar path sooner rather than later. Actually, that's good news for Georgia, because being able to be a running backs coach who becomes a head coach allows Georgia to potentially keep him longer. And the truth is, when you're Huff, I don't even know that he's a better candidate for a job like this than McGee would be. It's just that Huff had the Alabama, you know, brand attached to his name, which makes paths like this a little easier to travel. So Huff being hired by Marshall, I think, is a very interesting thing. Something else that I think is really, really interesting is the fact that Big Cat Bryant, the former terrific Auburn player, has announced his transfer destination. He is on his way to Tennessee. Now, he obviously his high school coach, Shelton Felton, is a part of the Tennessee program, so that makes this a little bit easier. But I'm starting to wonder, and this is just speculation on my part. I'm starting to wonder here a little bit. Does this all mean that Jeremy Pruitt's about to keep his job? Kevin Steele gets hired. Defensive assistant's all we know for now. Big Cat Bryant's as big as a transfer as you can add. These are not the kind of things that a coach that's about to get fired probably does. Biggest name assistant coach, I think, of the offseason, Tennessee basically hires, among the biggest names anyway, Tennessee hires him. One of the biggest transfers within the SEC, Tennessee gets him. There had been some chatter that Steele and Pruitt might be going out to visit Henry Toto. They're a very good linebacker that's on the roster right now. This entire Tennessee situation for me has been very weird in the fact that I think that Pruitt's status for keeping his job was a lot more precarious than I originally thought that it was. But I don't know, with some of the news that we've seen lately, is this an example that the kind of the arrow is kind of tilting back in the direction of Pruitt keeping his job here for 2021 and stabilizing somehow? Now, with Steele being there, you know, does that make other assistant coaches feel different about all of this? I'm not really quite sure, but I do think Big Cat, even if it's all explainable because, well, his coordinator Kevin Steele's there, his former high school coach Shelton Felton's there, and that's why all of this goes down. Even if there's an easy explanation for why you know, Bryant may have chosen Tennessee, it kind of makes you wonder, has Jeremy Pruitt now weathered the storm of the almost self-instigated NCAA investigation that was supposed to be the fodder to get Pruitt removed from his job? Is all of that now about to quiet down, and is Pruitt about to stabilize for this offseason there at Tennessee? We'll keep our eye on that. There were a couple of other stories I was going to do related to the SEC through, but let's just save those for tomorrow. All right, so as we get ready to wrap up here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, a couple of things. First of all, shout out to both the men's and women's basketball team from UGA getting a sweep over Ole Miss over the weekend. Lady Dogs are hot as fire right now after a win against Florida, a win at Tennessee, knocking down Ole Miss here, and the Georgia men's basketball team gets a much-needed W over the Rebels there as well. So pretty good weekend on the hardwood for the Dogs there on that front. And, of course, we believe around here that a good Georgia fan is a Gator hater. And one of the ways we acknowledge Gator haters with our Gator Hater Roll Call, we give out a golden shoe winner each and every day for the best Gator hater. As I knock Eddie down picking this up, today I want to acknowledge our buddy Joel Sidney Kelly. Really good Photoshop skills from our buddy Joel Sidney Kelly. Talking about coaching rumors, he's got a cousin Eddie, Dan Mullen, to go be Saskatchewan Rough Raiders offensive coordinator. Even a blind squirrel can find an OC job. Pretty good stuff by Joel Sidney Kelly on that. He's our golden shoe winner today. We'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of